Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara, Srinivasa Gaura, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So continuing reading, Sharanagati by Vinod Thakur. This is the next song also is a song describing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. It's similar to one we've been reading. He says, Jogame Jakan Dhanu Parjane Hoilo Bhikkhula Kami. He says, in my youth, I was very anxious to get a lot of money. Dharma Sharia Grihinir Kor Dharinu Thakana Ami. So, following the religious principles, I married a wife. Because the general religious principle, the religious principle according to Karmakanda is that everybody should get married. Pravritti Marg, Nivritti Marg. Those who are on the path of worldly improvement, for them, marriage is compulsory. That's why sometimes in the scriptures you find there is lavish praise of the householder's life. There is so much description how it is the best ashram of all. It is the best for people that is given there because it is the best for those who are materially attached. So to give them encouragement, there is so much description of the glories of householder life. But as we will see from these descriptions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that material entanglement is not at all auspicious for spiritual advancement. Shangshara pataye tahara shahit kala koi koino koto. He says that with my wife I made a nice home. Just like the little birds, they also get married and they make a nice home. And they think life is wonderful. If you see the little sparrows, they fly around, husband and wife together, chirping like this, and bobbing their head up and down, and flying here and there, and thinking life is so wonderful. My wife is the most beautiful sparrow, Miss Sparrow, and Mrs. Sparrow is thinking my husband is the best husband in the whole world. So, kala koi koino kato. I simply, in this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I simply wasted so much time. Bahu shuta shuta janama labhilo marame hoino hoto. So gradually I had many sons and daughters. This was quite normal previously. People would have 11, 12, 15 children. Nowadays we think that's something extraordinary due to the use of contraceptives. But previously everybody used to have contraceptives one thing and abortion another thing. That was a very normal thing to have many children. I know in my mother's family, I think there were 11 or 13 children. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also had 13 children. So he says here, Marame hoino hoto, that more and more children came, and my heart became more and more heavy. Shangshare bha, bare dine dine, achalla hoilo gati. So more and more children means more and more family responsibility, day by day increasing. So here he says, achalla hailo gati, means my life became stereotyped. In youth, when people get married, you see, young boy, young girl, they think that everything is so nice and they're in a complete dreamland. They have an aura of great confidence about them. Maya makes the arrangement by which a young man and a young woman think that they will be gloriously happy together. But the actual fact is that as time goes on, the householder life seems more and more like a heavy weight around the neck, especially as one gets more and more children, because the householder, he has to bring in income. The man has to bring in more and more income, so more and more children means more and more strain. And for the wife also, more and more strain to look after so many children. So, bhardakka ashiya gherilo amare astira hoilo mati. So, bhardakka ashiya. Now, old age has come, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And all these problems of family life are simply surrounding me on all sides. Therefore, my mind has become most disturbed. So this family life, materialistic family life, is typical of the mode of passion. In the beginning it seems just like nectar, but at the end just like poison. Pirai asthir chintai jarito abhavi jalito chitto. He says that in my old age my body is aching from so many different pains, and my not only physically but mentally also my mind is burning. because of not being able to provide as nicely as I would have wanted for my children. Upaina deki andhakar moy ekon hoyechi bhit. Now I don't see any means of deliverance. I'm simply deep in the darkness. Now I've become very afraid. This is the situation of a materialistic person. In his old age, he simply becomes afraid. He has nothing enjoyable left in his life. Nobody cares for him. In the Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev describes that an old man, he's worked hard all his life for his family, but in his old age, people neglect him. Just like an old ox has worked so hard, but when he gets old, the farmer doesn't care for him at all. So in old age, someone has been through their life, they've worked so hard, they've had so many hopes and aspirations, but in old age they have nothing left to look forward to. Simply they're suffering all kinds of pains, and they have only death to look forward. And that also causes them great fear, because they don't know what will happen to them after death. Shangshara tatani, shrotanahi shesh, marana nikata ghar. He says that the waves in the river of material life, the waves keep on flowing. You might be thinking that in old age I will live peacefully, I will retire. But there is no peace. Simply one is marana nikote ghar. One is simply waiting to face death, which is very close. Shabasham arpiya bhajibo tomai e asha bifalama. He's saying that I had hoped that I would, in my old age, I would be able to give up everything and simply worship you. But that hope has also become useless, unfulfilled. Ebe shuno prabhu ami gatihin bhaktivinod koi. Bhaktivinod, he says, my dear Lord, please listen to me. I have no means to make any progress. I'm useless. I'm directionless. Tava kripa bina shakaline rasha dehomore podashroy. He says, without your mercy, I have absolutely no hope whatsoever. So please give me shelter at your lotus feet. So this is the mood, sharanagati, mood of complete surrender. When one has no longer anything to hope for in this material world, then he can fully take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. One cannot actually serve Krishna or surrender to Krishna unless he is completely disgusted with material life. So the next song is very interesting. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing, he's giving an analysis of his own character. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a great pure devotee, full of all good qualities. But in his own estimation, he's the most sinful person. That is the vision of a pure devotee. Even though he is the most exalted, he sees himself to be the most fallen. There's a verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita to that. I can't remember exactly. Oh, there's a verse that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, two verses he says. Jagai madhai hoite muito papishto purishe kit hoite muito laghishto. He says that I am more sinful than jagai and madhai. And I am more sinful, so I am lower than the worms in stew. Je mora nam shune tara punna khoi. Je mora nam loi tara papa khoi. Tara papa hoi. He says that if anyone even hears my name, then his pious activities become spoiled. And if anyone says my name, he becomes sinful. So Prabhupada, he commented that Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, he wasn't only saying this, he actually felt this very deeply in his heart. Sometimes we may make a show of being humble. We may say, oh, I'm the most fallen. But we don't really feel it in our heart. We say, oh, I'm the most fallen. And someone says, yes. What? You're insulting me? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a pure devotee, he's actually feeling himself very fallen. So now he's giving another description of his life. Amar jibon shada pape rata nahika punnara lesh. He says that my life is simply full of sinful activities. And not even a slight tinge of pious activities. Porere udbeg diachi je kato, diachi jebere klesh. He says that my whole business in life has been to give anxiety and trouble to others. Nija shuka lagi pape nahi dori, doyahini hino sharta poro. He says that for the sake of my own happiness, I never cared to even to do all kinds of sinful activities. I never had any fear that now I'm doing something sinful. I'm completely devoid of any mercy towards anybody. And all I'm interested in is my own interest. Para shuke duki shada mittha bhashi para dukha shuka karo. He says that if I see that someone is happy or flourishing or prosperous, I become unhappy. So this is the position of a materialistic person. If he sees someone is doing very nicely, he becomes very envious of him. And para dukha shuki, if he sees that someone is unhappy, he becomes very happy. If someone, this is typical of the envious nature of materialistic people. Very envious nature. They simply want their own prestige, their own position to come up. This is particularly true in politics. Politics doesn't only mean political parties, but even just like in a factory, there may be politics. Wherever there is a group of people together, maybe also in an ashram community, that someone tries to make his own position stronger by putting other people down. And because of the envy which is inherent in our heart, we always try to push ourselves up and push others down. Especially if someone is going up, if someone is doing very nicely, we criticize them. Or if someone is struggling, instead of trying to help them, we simply laugh at them. This is materialistic mentality. And shada mittabhashi, always telling lies. That we see some people, they don't care to speak the truth. They always say to the other person something that will put them to an advantage. They don't care whether it's true or not. Or they may be expert in speaking the truth, but with a certain angle, certain little change for their own advantage. Or they may speak a half-truth or a quarter-truth. Whatever is suitable for their own purpose. Ashesha kamana hridi majemor krodhi dambha parayan madhamata shada vishaye mohito hingja garba vibhushan. He says, I have unlimited material desires sitting within my heart. This is described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Dushparena anulena cha. These material desires, so many desires, they simply burn in our heart. Simply burning means we feel no peace in our heart whatsoever. Therefore, krodhi, we very angry nature. When desires are frustrated, then we become angry. We become angry upon others, but the real problem is not the other, the real problem is ourselves. But we cannot see that because we are dambha parayan, because we are conceited and arrogant. And arrogant. Arrogant, well, conceited, you know what it means? Conceited, arrogant, you know what it means? Conceited means very puffed up, thinking that I am right under all circumstances. Very complacent, I am better than everybody else. So, madda matta sada, vishaye mohita hingja garba vibhushan. Because the mind is completely absorbed in thoughts of sense gratification, therefore he cannot think clearly at all, cannot see things clearly at all. Just like someone intoxicated. You see, someone who's intoxicated, they cannot think clearly at all. Someone who's intoxicated, they may talk on and on and on and on, and they think what they're saying is very enlightened, but it's all nonsense. So in the same way, people are intoxicated by false pride, and they say so many things, but it's all nonsense. That means everything a materialistic person says, they like to talk so many things, all nonsense. Hingja garba vibhushan, he says, the ornaments, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my ornaments are envy and pride. Nidra lasya hato sukarje biroto akarje udyogiyami. He says, I'm spoiled by laziness and sleep, completely devoid of any pious activities, but very expert in performing all kinds of things which should not be done at all. Patishta lagya shatta acharan loba hata shadakam. He says, for the sake of prestige, I do some shatta acharan means, I make a show of being very pious. Cheating. Just like you see sometimes people, they're very religious just for show. Just to show others that I'm very religious. Just like generally in America, the big politicians, they have to make a show of going to church every so often. Just so that people will think he's a very religious person. I think maybe in Russia the politicians have started to do this also. While they're in church, they're simply plotting how to get ahead in politics. They're making a show of being very pious, just to increase their prestige. Lo bahata, spoiled by greed and material desires. Eheno durjana shajjana borjito aparadhi niranto. But you know, Thakur is seeing, I'm such a sinful person that all well-intentioned people, all good people, have abandoned me. Because I'm always offensive. I'm always so offensive to pious people that they've long ago left me. Shubha karja shunna. I'm devoid of any pious activity. Shadana artha mana. I'm simply filled with all the bad things. Nana duke joraja. Means now, in this way, I've come into my old age in a very unfortunate position. Bardak ke ekon upai bihin. Tate dina akinchan bhakati vinod prabhacharane kare dukha nibedan. Now I've come to my old age, I don't see any means of deliverance. Therefore I see myself as very fallen and without any shelter but you. Therefore Bhakti Vinod says, falling at your lotus feet, O Krishna, I tell you the miserable story. Kare dukha nibedan. Falling at your lotus feet, O Krishna, I'm submitting to you my tale of sorrow. So sometimes we see this, sometimes people who are very sinful, they become so much despised by others that they actually turn to Krishna. Sometimes people who are very sinful, deep in their heart, they have a spark of Krishna consciousness covered. Everybody is naturally Krishna conscious, but some people, they have a little Krishna consciousness developed from a previous life. In the Bhagavatam, 11th canto, is the story of one Brahmana from Avantipur, who was a very rich merchant, but he was extremely mean. He was very miserly and very irritable in his behavior. And he would behave very roughly towards everybody. He had no compassion upon anybody. So, in this way, even his own family members, they didn't like him. Even though he was so rich, he would chastise them, even if they wanted to spend little money for their practical necessities. He always acquired money by cheating others. So gradually he grew older and older, but gradually also, even though he'd collected so much money, gradually he lost all his money. Then he found himself with so many enemies because he owed money to so many people. And even his family members, they now openly despised him. So finding that all his pride of his money, that the pride that he had had from having so much money, that had gone. And when he looked at his own life, he found what a miserable person I am. So he just left everything and surrendered at the lotus feet of Krishna. And he wandered here and there as a mendicant. And people took him as mad. People used to insult him. Young boys used to call him names, throw stones at him. But he simply thought, this is a reaction to my sinful activities. Let me now take shelter of Mukunda. That song of the Avanti Brahmana is very famous. Every sannyasi, Vaishnava sannyasi, should say that every day. So there are many such examples. Bhaktivinoda, Bilvamangala Thakur was also, appeared to be a very sensuous person. Bilvamangala Thakur. He was very much attached to the prostitute Chintamani. And every night he would go to visit her. Even though he was born in a good Brahmin family, he had such a low class habit. So, one night he went to see her in the great storm. In India, you'll find in the rainy season, sometimes there's very heavy storm, cyclone. And even big trees, they will blow down. So on such a night, Bilvamangala Thakur went to see Chintamani. So to go there, he had to cross a river. But there was no boat because it was such a bad night, no boatman. So he found some dead body was there at the side of the river, because people, they burn the bodies at the side of the river. Sometimes the body doesn't completely burn and it may be left there. So a dead body floats very nicely, blows up like a balloon and stinks. These practical facts of life you learn living in India. So he got such a dead body, and with the help of that, he swam over the dangerous river. Then Chintamani's house was in a compound, so he couldn't find how to climb over the wall. So he saw a creeper hanging down from the tree. So he caught hold of that, and with the help of that, he climbed up. Then he saw the creeper was actually a snake hanging down. So anyway, he came in completely wet to the house of Chintamani. Chintamani was astonished to see him. How have you come on a night like this? So he explained, nothing too difficult. With the help of a dead body and a snake, I came here. So actually Chintamani, even though she was a prostitute, she was also a devotee of Krishna. So she chastised him. She said, "You have so much attachment for this body of mine, which is simply blood and bones. If only you had so much attachment for Krishna, what a great devotee you would be." So Bilvamangal Thakur, in his previous life, he had been a great devotee. He had reached up to the level of Bhava Bhakti, which is just prior to pure love of God. So when he heard the word Krishna from Chintamani's lips, something deep in his memory stirred up. "Oh, Krishna." Then he thought, "Yes, now I have to find out Krishna." So he went to Vrindavan, and he lived there for 700 years. Krishna used to come to see him every day. He was also blind. How he was blind? That when he was going to Vrindavan, he was walking along the path, and he saw one beautiful woman. So, due to his past bad habit, he became attracted. A woman had come to the village well for collecting water. So, Bilvamangal followed her back to her house. When she came to her house, she reported to her husband, this Brahmin is following me. So, this woman was from Vaishya caste. So, they had great respect for Brahmanas. So, the Vaishya man, he saw Bilvamangal had come and he greeted him with great respect as a Brahmana. So, he said, "Welcome to our house, how can we serve you?" So Bilvamangal quite shamelessly said, "I would like to enjoy your wife." He said, "Yes, all right. Whatever Brahmin wants, we have to fulfill." So he sent his wife into the room with Bilvamangal. Bilvamangal said, "Mother, please give me the pins from your hair." So taking the pin from his hair, he put in his eyes. He said, "Let these eyes go, because my eyes are always misleading me. Now I'll no longer see the attraction of Maya. We don't recommend this as a general process." Bilvamangal Thakur did it, but we should not do. Anyway, he was blind, living in Vrindavan, but Krishna used to come to see him every day. So this is a story that however fallen one may be, apparently he can revive his full Krishna consciousness. Bilvamangal Thakur wrote Krishna Kanamrita, which is one of the most important books of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote so many important books and songs. So of course, they're great liberated souls, but they are appearing as ordinary, worldly, materialistic people, just to give us some encouragement that even we may be the worst of the worst, but if we surrender to Krishna, we can be delivered. This description in this song is not meant for Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it's meant for you and me. We have all these nice qualities, or bad qualities, full of material desires, angry, puffed up. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us that even if we are full of so many bad desires, at any stage of our life, if we simply surrender to Krishna, Krishna will deliver us. All right, so any question?
So, in our level, we can just say that this habit and this habit and this habit, and that's obvious why we can find out the real, have some bad habits. But in the level of Bhaktivinoda, how he can find some bad qualities in his character?
Yeah, that I explained this morning.
The day
I'm not or was it yesterday? That pure devotees, they're decorated with all good qualities, but they see themselves to be very bad. Just like someone who's in Maya, they don't see they're very bad, they think I'm very good. So there's another kind of Maya called Yoga Maya, by which the pure devotees, they don't think of themselves as pure devotees. They actually think they're very fallen.
She's asking if you hate your own body in all this world and just completely, in any way attracting you, what does it mean?
What is the question?
I don't know, she's asking what does it mean?
What does what mean?
If you feel that you hate, this body and all this world, you don't have any attraction.
Is he feeling like that?
He said that's the question.
He hates his body.
Yourself,
well, we shouldn't exactly hate it, because hate is one kind of attachment. It means a strong concentration of thought. The real thing is to be not attached, neither to be strongly attached to the body, nor strongly hating it. Rather, we should see we have this human body that is a gift from Krishna that we should use for the sake of serving him.
Can you say, is there any position in which we have some troubles to surrender to Krishna? What does this trouble mean?
Trouble means we don't want to surrender to Krishna. That's the whole trouble. That's the whole trouble of our life. All our troubles are caused because we don't want to surrender to Krishna. And if we do want to surrender to Krishna, there's nothing that can stop us surrendering. But if we don't want to surrender to Krishna, we can find out all kinds of reasons why not to surrender to Krishna. Sometimes we may see someone who was engaged in devotional service but has now gone back to materialistic life. And they'll give so many excuses. Well, actually, I wanted to be a devotee, but... And after the word but will come so much nonsense. Because there's no reason not to be a devotee. If we want to be a devotee, there's nothing that can stop us. Even if Hiranyakashipu comes with all his demoniac forces to try to force us not to be a devotee, if we have the determination of Prahlad, then nothing can stop us. There's nothing external that can stop us from surrendering to Krishna. It's only our own material attachments. Rascal mentality. That we don't want to surrender to Krishna. We want to be Krishna. And we'll make a show that, yes, I want to surrender to Krishna, but because this, and some external reason we'll give. Any other question?
Can you hear that in Harikat Maharaj, in his lectures, he always say that we should make this our life, like last life in this material world, but in one purport, he read the Srimad Bhagavatam. He read that we cannot just get liberated in one life.
You can if you want to. Of course, ultimately everything is in Krishna's hands. But all our acharyas, they all recommend, make the endeavor to go back home, back to Godhead in this life. So if we are serious, everything is possible. If we're not, we can go on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of lifetimes, and we still won't get the result.